Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
You're retired and your only income is a pension. The institution paying the pension goes bankrupt. You do the math. Retired Detroit firefighter Brendan Milewski is doing the math, and he's not happy about it.
I was an active employee of the fire department in Detroit for 12 years. I was in an accident. As a result, I'm a paraplegic. There's rumor of the benefit being reduced. It's caused me and my wife to sit down with a calculator and look at our monthly budget, where we're staring at a very dramatic impact.
Doing the math in Detroit, the city will plead its case on pension obligations and a reported $3.5 billion shortfall before a federal bankruptcy court, with pensioners apparently standing in line along with other creditors. Here to explain how all that works is Wayne State University Professor of Law, Peter Henning. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So let's talk about the bankruptcy question and the category of people in a pension program, which, depending on where you are in the pension program, there's a different level of protection, a different level of fear, I suppose. There are people who are in a pension program. There are people who are actually vested and in a pension program that maybe began some years ago. And then there are people who are actually receiving benefits who are retired. How do bankruptcy courts look at these three categories?
Well, certainly the category that's at greatest risk are those who have already retired and are drawing their benefits. And especially in Detroit, and this is true in a number of cities, some of those workers were not part of the Social Security system. So their city pension is the only support that they have. That is, I think, the largest category. It's about 20,000. Then you also have current city workers, those who vested or those who haven't vested yet. But in the bankruptcy process, they're all going to be what are called unsecured creditors, unless, of course, this issue of the Michigan Constitution somehow affects the analysis. But generally, retirees and those who are participating in a pension program are considered unsecured creditors, which is those are the people who are often in the weakest position in any type of bankruptcy restructuring.
Does the Michigan Constitution protect retirees in any concrete way that the courts have affirmed?
Well, this is where it gets very complicated. The Michigan Constitution says essentially that pensions for government workers, state and local, can't be tampered with, that you can't change the benefits, you can't diminish the benefits. That's a matter of state law, state constitutional law. The problem is that bankruptcy is a matter of federal law. And when you are in a federal bankruptcy court, it's that court's rules that apply. And the bankruptcy code deals with secured and unsecured creditors in different ways. But it's not clear, and this is going to be a very important issue that has to be decided, what impact, if any, does the Michigan constitutional protection, what impact does that have on the bankruptcy process? Normally, a bankruptcy judge could cut down on what an unsecured creditor receives, but does the Michigan Constitution protect those workers? That's going to be one of the first questions. And, of course, it's already a major fight in both the state and federal bankruptcy court.
And at the very least, whatever happens here in this Detroit bankruptcy will set a lot of precedents around the nation if we get into other sorts of federal, state, fiscal crises that result in these kinds of bankruptcy resolutions. Just so people don't think this is only about Detroit, the question of pensions and pension promises turning out to be maybe less than advertised is something that's been working through the private sector for quite some time. Airline industry, we saw it 4 years ago in the auto industry bailout, the question of who's a creditor and whether pensioners or bondholders have greater standing. Can you sketch out the difference between how the private sector has dealt with pensions, the guarantees that are available, and what's available for the public sector employees?
Well, certainly the key difference is that in the private sector, you do have, at least for the what are called the defined benefit pension plans, where you get a percentage of your salary, you do have the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, which provides something of a safety net, some insurance. Now, you won't get the full amount of your promised pension, but you do have that protection. that agency does not insure government pensions. And so the thought had always been that, of course, the government pension was much more secure because of the power to tax, that if the government needed to, it would simply raise taxes. In Detroit, just to use that as the specific example, Detroit's at its limit as far as taxing, and that's not a very good option for any number of other state and local governments that are facing major shortfalls. So this issue of how do you deal with it, on the government side, it had often been, well, of course, we can rely on government. Government has good credit. Government's not going to default on this. Whether that promise turns out to be one that can be fulfilled is really the scary question in this Detroit bankruptcy, because if a bankruptcy court can step in and restructure pensions, in other words, reduce the benefits, then how much protection do those government workers have? And, of course, how much do the retirees have? Those are often the people without a voice in the political process.
Is bankruptcy in both the private and public sector a backdoor out of pension obligations and other benefit obligations that up front look secure, but on the back end, maybe not so much?
Well, certainly in the auto industry bankruptcies, the GM and Chrysler, you saw that one of the reasons for them declaring bankruptcy was because of the very heavy what are called legacy costs. And it's not just the pension. It's also the promise of continuing health care. And that, of course, can be a major drain on any company or any government. And so what we've seen in the private sector certainly is that bankruptcy, or even just the threat of bankruptcy, can be a way to restructure pensions, to change what will be owed, and to restructure those health care costs. It hasn't translated yet over to the public sector, to the public sector pensions, but that may really just be a function of the issue hasn't really come up yet. Now, it did before Detroit. There was Central Falls, Rhode Island had pension issues. It was a much smaller town, but it dealt with it by negotiating a reduction in the pensions that were paid. And so will this grow? Certainly there is that possibility because of the major shortfalls in pension funding in a number of state and local governments.
Well, the issue is certainly on the table now. Peter Henning, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Peter Henning is a law professor at Wayne State University Law School in Detroit.